Welcome, everyone. Glad to be with you again. Hope your week went well, and we have Dr. Gabriel Cousins waiting to talk with us tonight. Some really relevant stuff to look at with you, and it has to do with the light and the darkness in the world right now in light of a particular observation that Gabriel was talking to us about this morning. So without further ado, let's go right to Dr. Cousins, and this should be an incredible conversation. Stay tuned.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Well, I welcome you all with love and really peace. And let's start with a little prayer that is about merging the heart and the mind. It goes like this. Lishimikud kudasharbrihu ushinite bi ilo or ilaya chanyuki bilovke biyadashlum shum kuzreel kolom. Amen. So just feel that merging of the heart and the mind, that integration. Now, what we always like to do is start with a little bit of spiritual joy. We do that with dancing. And dancing is just for spiritual joy is part of a lot of different traditions. And we do it here for 3 minutes, just dancing to activate the spiritual joy in our hearts. So that's what we're going to do. Okay. Okay, we're going to meditate for a moment or two. We'll go into just repeat this with your breath. Yoda, an in breath. Hey, hand out breath. Wa, an in breath. Hand out breath. Yoda from the base to the heart. Hey, out through the heart. Wa from the base to the third eye. Hey, out through the heart. And this is, if you don't have a mantra, you can use this, and you keep repeating that until your mind's quiet. Then you're in meditation. So the other part is just focusing the energy coming through my eyes and let that help activate your energy. Okay, you slowly come out of meditation. And so what I want to do is just kind of address a human tendency that is quite alarming throughout history. And we can go back to the Genghis Khan and the way they mutilated and treated prisoners. We can go to the Middle Ages where the nuns were sexually abused and again, mutilated and killed by, you know, different other groups of Christians. We can go to the pogroms in Russia in the 1920s or in the 1890s. We can look at what the Japanese did, how they mistreated people, Americans, in World War II. The most recent is the October 7th, where children were beheaded in front of their parents. Babies were put in ovens, literally. There are witnesses to this. Women were multiply gang raped. And what is it about humans that we do these things? What's going on? And understand that what we saw on October 7th is not an exception. Okay? It really is how humans think it's okay to treat each other. And we obviously can bring in the Nazi atrocities and saw something in the Warsaw Ghetto today. It was just endless where people lose their humanity. Now, in the midst of that, which is really important to acknowledge, there's a few people who actually maintain their humanity. This is what we also have to see. There's exceptions. In this one video that's real historical, the most famous pianist in Poland, who was Jewish, was period, most famous pianist in Poland, period. He had escaped out of the Warsaw Ghetto and was hiding out, and then he just picked the building after 2 years of being on the run, where a very high-ranking German officer was also staying. And the German officer kind of, what are you doing here? Who are you? I'm a pianist. He said, okay, play for me. And there was a piano in the other room, and he played this beautiful music. And the officer, again, high ranking, you know, like he, you know, officer in the area, loved his music, was very nice to him, used to bring him food while he was hiding out. And, you know, really took care of him out of respecting that he was a very great artist as well. And so there are different reasons for doing, but nevertheless, there's a breakthrough. Humanity breaks through. So how is it that we have all these horrendous things and limits that breakthrough of humanity? In World War II, you had a variety of Polish people, you know, protecting Jewish people at the risk of their lives. Breakthrough in humanity. So what goes on that some people break through, even high-ranking German, you know, officers? I don't know if he was a general, but he was very high-ranking. And at the same time, we have the tendency to act in very horrible ways to other humans. And it's a little mystery because, you know, we're not talking that these exceptions are religious exceptions, that some people are connected to the light They don't talk about being connected to light. The German officer didn't talk about being connected to light. But he loved his music, and he protected him in this very weird world. And so as we look at this question, I'm raising it. Why do I raise it? Because to me, it's worth trying to understand what it is that makes people act morally, ethically, and recognize God in the other people. They may not be saying that. Well, what was going on with this German officer? What was going on, you know, in all these different places throughout history where there's a recognition of humanity, and you don't do the torturing and the mutilating? So that's a kind of pretty important question, because if we could answer that question, you know, I'm thinking about the January 6th people, you know, or just the other day, the 75-year-old lady was caught praying at an abortion center. She was jailed for 42 days. No lights were on 24/7. And she was, you know, not physically abused, but abused, you know, nonstop. She survived. But how did you do that to a 75-year-old woman whose offense was to be praying near an abortion center? I mean, what motivates you? Or at January 6th, where people may have been in the wrong place, may not have been in the wrong place, but are ending up in, you know, solitary confinement for months. What is going on? So it's kind of trying to look at this big picture of kind of a vengeful treating of people. Maybe that's the secret to that. And what goes on inside of people that they treat each other that way? I'm not trying to make this a political thing about Biden and his administration, who are doing all kinds of cruel things to people who differ politically. I'm not talking at that level. I'm talking at what goes on that people act this way, that they lose their humanity. And what goes on, like this German general, I guess, where they gain their humanity? And these are like pretty important questions. So if we can figure out what it is, you know, just regular people that not necessarily, you know, have a religious position or whatever, it maybe a secret that can really uplift humanity. So those are the questions I would ask. I don't really have a full answer to that. But at this point, I'm going to bring Richard in and see his opinion on this, you know, this question, really. What goes on? Why do people act moral? Why do people act immorally and trust to each other throughout history?
Yeah, it's probably one of the most important questions there is, Dr. Pessens, and especially right now, because what's going on in the world, we're being pushed. Some of the people are not just indulging in those evil actions. They're trying to get the whole world to fall apart based on that. And trying to get, you mentioned the Holocaust, although this is not just about one event or about Jewish people or any other group of people. This is about everyone.
Right.
But all these specifics, including the Holocaust and October 7th and all those things, are being used right now to try to bring out the worst of the characteristics of people to take a side and hate each other. And what you're bringing up is unity and the difference between opposing sides wanting to kill each other and the atmosphere of hatred and the atmosphere of unity that drops all that. You know, another example of that light coming out was the Christmas truce in World War I, where German and European forces were facing off against each other in the trenches. And they were, every time they kill everybody in the opposing trench, the rulers would bring in new people to be killed. And it would just be going on and on and on. And it's kind of a an analogy to what's going on in the world in general. We're all in the trenches, sent here by the rulers, intended to kill each other. And the test is, will we wake up and stop doing that, or would we just follow orders? You know, the famous phrase, just following orders, which doesn't work, and has disastrous consequences. Every one of us is in that position. Are we just going to follow orders? Are we going to wake up and have the Christmas truce in heaven, not just for one night? Because in the World War I example of Christmas truce, they had it for one night, and some of them a little bit longer, but then their officers got really upset, and they got orders from higher up, start the killing again immediately, and they all obeyed. And at some point, you have to say no. No matter what happens, we're not going to start the killing again. And I think the question you asked is, what allows that decision? What allows that insight, that inspiration, to realize that we have that choice and we're a microcosm of what's going on in the world, everybody individually? Are you going to go for light or for darkness? And we're faced with that decision moment by moment. And the first thing is to become aware that it's even a decision in front of you. I think that's where we are now.
So what happens? And there may be different reasons, but there's somewhere in the picture where we recognize the humanity of the other person.
Right.
And there's some, you know, in a more spiritual way of talking about it, is that we recognize the spark of God in the other person.
Yes, not just in the so-called good people, but in everybody.
In everybody. I'm talking about in the people you're opposing for whatever reason.
Right, right.
And the leaders tend to want to demonize the opposition, whether it's, you know, even to the extent of political demonizing people, which we see grossly in the United States, it's really the opposite of not seeing God in everybody. It's like seeing evil in your opposition, because they differ.
Almost every belief system in the world teaches that we're the good people and the other ones are the bad people. And right. God wants the bad people killed. And emulating that philosophy has been followed for thousands and thousands of years, and it never ends. Everybody thinks they're the good guys, and the other side is the bad guys. Even the globalists that want to exterminate life on the planet think that they're doing it for a higher purpose.
Right. So how do people get deluded into thinking that? So, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I think that is the obvious question. Because if we're thinking it's only the bad people that fall for that, we're missing the whole point. Everybody falls for it in some way. And if you can overcome that in yourself and make the decision to go in the opposite direction, that's a contribution to the world, very much tied to your World Peace Project.
So one thing I learned playing football, that may be a clue here, is that, you know, you're trying as hard as you can to block the other person, knock them out of the game. Whatever you're doing, you're trying physically as hard as you can. It's a game of war. But at the same time, at least from my point of view, they're just football players like myself. We're all on the same team. We're all football. And when you remember that, it changes how you are. I remember we were playing the top team. We did beat them in the last 6 seconds. Bowden and we beat them 19-18. And they had a really good running back. And I was and I tackled him really hard at the open, you know, after the first few plays. And he was kind of slow getting up off the ground. I put my hand out to him and helped him up. Pat him on the back and, okay, this is a game. You're a guy. We're just playing. You're not my enemy. And what happened in that, the teaching for me and really the teaching for you? No, because he smiled and, you know, it's like after I picked him up. And then it was like, wait, we're human. We're playing a game. Now, people choose not to see the other person as human and choose to think the world of illusion is real. Now, we have a globalist, and I'm going to say that there's a what some people feel is a high degree of psychopath, paranoid psychopath energies in some of these leaders, the way they've been brought up and so forth, is that everybody else is less than human. That's their training. So from a less than human point viewpoint, you can't see they're just another person on the field. We're all playing a game called life on planet Earth so we can evolve spiritually. Now, I can't tell you I was coming from a big spiritual place. It was like, here's this guy. I just knocked him down. He's slow getting up. The game's starting. I actually would like him to be in the game to make it fun for all. And it's like, here's my hand, man. And the point I'm making is, we're opposed, but we're not enemies. You can disagree because the game is how to evolve spiritually on the planet. And once you get that, you don't need to do all these other things because you're taking, you know, you do these terrible things as you take it seriously. You take it as if this is the truth. And that, I think, is how some of this happens. We don't see God in the other person, but we also don't see it's a world of illusion, which is there for us to grow spiritually. So those are kind of some insights that I'm looking at where the breakdown happens. And you don't see yourself as human either. How come the Hamas, they were told by their spiritual religious leaders, you know, this is the way you're supposed to be. What are you supposed to do with that? Mutilate, be as vicious as possible. You're supposed to scare them. You're supposed to terrify them. You know, this is the way we do war. It's like, well, they're young kids. I mean, honestly, they're young kids. They're 20, 21, just like everybody else's army. And it's like, they just following, in a sense, they're encouraged to act this way, plus they already have a predisposed belief. So all these things are going on. So throwing that out as a way of doing it, and it stops when we see the other people are human beings, and they have a soul, and they have the spark of God within them, and you may disagree spiritually about this belief or that belief, but you have a spark of God, and it's like, when we respect that, we don't desecrate that. When we don't see that spark of God, it's easy to desecrate. And I think that's one of the problems. And I'm going to keep on a roll here. Chairman Mao was not exactly human friendly. Now, people believe somewhere between 60 million and 100 million Chinese were killed in his reign of terror. And when they were marching against Chiang Kai-shek and they were low on food, they caught the other, you know, people from the other side or local people too. Some of these people, literally, this is true, you know, with witnesses, they would boil them in water, obviously it would kill them, and then they would eat them. They would cannibalize them. That's how depraved people under Chairman Mao became. And so, and then the, you know, the Red Guard and all their things, the way they treated the elders, there's a breakdown of societal mores. I mean, you look at that dance out of China now that's so brilliant, affirming life in kind of pre-communist world, and it's like, I can't believe these people are that beautiful and supporting the spirit. And so it was acting contrary to the culture, Mao, doing these very, very dehumanizing things. So there's somewhere a break in a culture that recognizes humans as elevated with what happened. How do 60 to 100 million people get slaughtered in the name of communism? That's not really a good name, doing it that way. So those are kind of questions that I'm bringing up, where people lose and do not see other people as human, therefore you can do whatever you want. But even today, we talk about animal cruelty, and we don't do those things to animals. So I'm throwing those thoughts into the mix to help us begin to get a grasp of what the breakdown is, and also what the solution is. It's just to focus on seeing the light of God in the other person. And it's okay to disagree, but we want to hold our morals, and we hold our ethics, and we want to hold our humanity, because we lose our humanity when we treat people in inhumane ways. That's my speech for the moment.
That's great. I think, you know, a part of the really important element in this is getting beyond beliefs and saying, what's real? You know, who are we? Who are we? If you took away all the thoughts and all the beliefs and all the books, who are we? In reality, where did we come from? What if we'd never been taught any belief system? And one of the clues is that there are people who have gone through what I think is referred to as dying, and some of them come back. Well, they all come back, but some of them come back within hours or minutes. And there are very similar threads in what they report. And one of the main ones, I've been looking at this a lot over the last few months, and one of the main things they almost all run into right away, unless they're absolutely sure that it's impossible in their belief system, is the experience of unconditional love and being surrounded by this amazing presence and realizing from the experience, not from thoughts, that that's what they are. It's really important. I don't know how to say it important.
Well, it's clear. That's why meditation is so important, because when you go deep in meditation, you go to those places even beyond the astral plane experience and their experience.
Exactly.
But so in your program every day, you're having that experience, and you see that experience within yourself, which is where it has to begin.
Yes.
And then you begin seeing it in other people. So
everything has to come from that.
That's the key. Go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry.
No, I totally agree. Everything has to come from experience. Otherwise, if you just memorize a belief, if you're honest sometimes, you realize you don't know if it's true. You're hoping it is. And people want comfort of assurance and having the answers to everything. So they really are determined that it must be true. But it's a different step to experience it, find out. And so if you can do that in the way that you're talking about without having to wait till you die, which is better to do it now because you can use it.
It does happen naturally. It's not something you do. It just happens naturally.
Yes. Yeah, you can't create it, because if you have preconceptions about it, that only limits the experience. So
Exactly.
When the full experience comes in, it changes your entire life. It changes what you want to do. Even if you've been a person totally devoted to your beliefs, they happen to be evil, because you get a power rush from abusing other people, which is the attraction of evil. That all dissolves in that experience that you just talked about. And if the people devoted to evil won't do it, the nice thing is that there's contagion and shedding in the people that do it, and they affect the people that don't. So it's like we're a microcosm with the light and dark inside of each one of us. And the light is the reality. It's not just that the two are equal opposites. The light is the only part in the sense of being permanent. And outside it's hard enough. And you find that out when you start to feel it. So really the fate of the world depends and is radically connected to what we're going to do with the connection inside. If we want to make a contribution.
So the next step of the discussion, from my point of view, so how do we get more people to begin to experience the light of the divine within themselves and to be that divine music? So this is, in my world, it's experiential, as you point out, Richard. I think it's very important. Meditation is a direct experience of this truth. When we're chanting or singing, we can also do that, as well as dancing. You can be moved into that altered, more evolved state. Okay? It does help when you're eating a diet that makes you more sensitive. With me, I talked about it as 80% live food, 100% vegan, plant-based diet, because you become more sensitized. It's easier to meditate. It's easier to tune in. And then if you're doing practices that build the prana, like Tai Chi, Qi Gong, different yogas, they all make you more sensitive. And service and charity also brings it out, because they give you a chance to connect to the heart of the other person, which is really important. And then also, if you're ready, with a spiritual teacher, as you say, meditation and mantra, repetition, all of those things, and the awakening of spiritual energy make you far more sensitized to start having these inner experiences. So we can create the conditions, that's my point here, by kind of ways of being. Certain other people, find time in nature, for example. But we can create the preconditions that bring us more consistently to the experience of the divine in nature and in each other. So those are things we can really do to amplify more and more people going in that direction, awakening in that direction.
That's right. If you want more people, then you want to do more of the work inside yourself. Because the more focused you are, the more it attracts other people.
Right. And also, we have that world peace meditation on Sunday nights at 6, starting at 6:15 Eastern Standard Time, actually Israel time, where we all meditate together, 6:15 p.m., where we all meditate together and we're feeling again our joint humanness, and we're creating a field understanding, a field of peace. That makes a difference. So all these things are there. Doug, thank you for putting that up. So we can do this, but we have to create that field. And the more we do that, like the World Peace Meditation, we feel that link with each other, the better it is. So that's on Sundays.
Yeah, I would like to also mention that the peace meditation that happens once a week is a taste of what the focus can be if it's focused internally on peace and harmony and love universally. But the rest of the 24 hours every day, realize that we're in meditation. And the question is only on what are you meditating? If that's brought into line with that occasional experience and make it stable, then the effect gets much more contagious, much stronger, regardless of the numbers, and it starts spreading faster. So it's shaking ourselves awake, not walking through the day like robots or zombies and getting quiet inside so the mind programs are not pulling us away. And stay in that meditation while you're doing your work. And people say, well, it's really hard to meditate and do your physical tasks at the same time, and that's not true. We don't realize that we're doing that now. It's just a negative meditation in the background that needs to be replaced.
Yeah, I mean, I do it when I'm doing the dishes. You know, you're repeating the mantra, repeating the name of God, when you're walking around, when you're doing it, even when we're sitting here, that frequency of the divine is repeated internally.
So it's a simple message.
Yeah.
Just eventually, after you've heard it so many times, one time it says, wow, maybe I should actually try that.
So the good news is we can actually do this. We can actually, as we transform ourselves, we are also naturally transforming the world. That's the good news. And as we become more human, then these inhuman activities, atrocities, go down, less happening as a normal way of being, as a human.
Totally agree, Dr. Cousins. And I think we're each a microcosm of that struggle within the world. So what we do with it in ourselves is the whole issue.
Yeah. And that changes the world. It changes the global mind.
Right.
So I just want to bless everyone that we get the message and get the understanding of this and do it. Because when we do it, it transforms us. Peace be with you. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om Kiwasan. Aho. I turn back to Richard. And I thank Doug for being behind the scenes and Richard for really being here too.
Yes. Barely here in terms of my voice. I apologize for that.
Your voice is fine. I can hear you quite well.
Okay. And you mentioned Doug. Doug has a weekly news show called The Diamond Report.
Say it again.
The Diamond Report is Doug's weekly news show.
Oh, okay.
The Diamond Dot Report. And we're waiting to see what happens in the world right now, and all of us are major actors in that. And in Planetary Healing Club, which meets once a week, still, we've been looking each week recently at some of these experiences of people who died and come back. And the purpose of that, along with the other stuff that we looked at, is answering this question of who we are. If you had to answer that question right now, apart from any beliefs and anything you've memorized and anything you've been lectured, and just go by what you've experienced, what would it be? You know, so the benefit of hearing about these people's experience when they've gone away from the world, away from their physical form, away from everything, into what I would refer to as the astral level. They experience a much clearer picture and feeling of who they actually are. And it's a shaking of all the impressions of false identity that we carry all our lives. And when they come back, they remind the rest of us that this is true all the time, and what we're operating under is almost like a kind of hypnosis that creates an amnesia. And we have all these false identities that we fight over. But the reality is that we're coming directly from God, who made a spirit, not a physical form. And the essence of that is unconditional love. And no matter what we memorize as a belief, it's not the same as experiencing someone. And that's the whole point. So what I would encourage people to do is do whatever you can to experience some of who you actually are. Because from there, you can actually get reconnected to where you came from. And the old funny joke about somebody, I think it was a Chevy Chase movie, and they were asking for directions and the person outside the car said, "Well, I'm really sorry, but you can't get there from here." That's supposed to be a funny joke, but it's true. In order to get reconnected to where we came from, we can't be coming from a false identity. All you can do from that false identity is the things to fight about. And we need to change that. So what Dr. Cousins is talking about with the world peace meditation and the encouragement to be in that mentality all the time, it's really critical. And I would say if there's one thing that we need to do, if we care about what's happening in the world right now, reconnect to who we are. And that's what we're working with in each in our own ways. So very grateful to be with you today. And I'm trying to do my part in the middle of all of that, same as you, and reconnect to who we are. Get still inside, quiet, and receptive. And just like in nature, gases rush in to fill in a vacuum. And the same happens in the spiritual realm. If you quiet down the mental chatter, then what comes in is what you're looking for. And it leads to something very amazing. So don't give up. Don't be discouraged by what's going on around you. Be what you want to be, broadcasting into the world. And it becomes very strong. And it's guaranteed in the end that light is the only thing left. So anyway, I'll stop talking for a while and wish you a good week. Hope everything goes really well. You're welcome to planetaryhealingclub.com or communicate at richard@lostartsradio.com. And we look forward to talking to you again next time. Talk to you soon.